Hi, hola, hello, bienvenido. Welcome back or welcome to Mentors Today. This is season two. I'm Rob Ryan and she is...
Hola a todos, soy Ileana Jaime, aquí en la segunda temporada de Mentors Today.
And we're back here with season two. We're so stoked to be back with you this year. And this is episode two. And what we're going to do is kind of lay out for you a whole host of topics that we want to cover this year. So you can kind of start to anticipate and get excited about what we'll be sharing with you through the course of the year. We're going to do something a little bit different this year, other than just be in your ears more often. We're very excited because of the pandemic and me spending so much time here in Los Angeles, unexpectedly this last year now, probably and a half, we're going to really start to use the show to bridge the gaps between the work that we do and Ileana's world and my world in Latin America and the opportunities and unique stories that exist here in the Latinx entrepreneurial communities in Los Angeles and in the U.S. at large. So we're kind of excited about that. What we did to prepare for this season is, instead of in a vacuum just deciding on a bunch of topics that we thought were cool, we thought we would actually reach out to you all, our audience, and get some suggestions about topics that you all are either interested in or, in a lot of cases, areas of industry or areas of the entrepreneurial economies that you all are working in, that you are investing in, that you are founding companies in, that you're creating or building entrepreneurial economies around. So we're really excited about that. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go through and I'm just going to literally read the list out of all the different topics that we have submitted to us. And then I'm going to throw them back and Ilya and I are going to go through it and just kind of add some context, talk about why some of these topics might be interesting or important, and maybe tease a little bit of some of the possible guests that we could bring to bear for the shows, because, you know, that's part of our job is to create FOMO. So you don't want to miss coming back and listening to our episodes the rest of the year and sharing them with all your friends.
We are starting to create some little FOMO for the audience.
Just a little. We have a little Mentors Today FOMO going in season two. So, all right. So I'm going to jump down and just dive right into this list of about 20 some odd topics. So here it is. These are the topics that you, our audience members, suggested that you're either really interested in working on or would love to, or would love to hear us talk about. So decarbonization, like, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, like, I'm going to bet that's a much more complicated topic than we're prepared to talk about. A green recovery or climate tech, sustainable cities. And by the way, everybody, these are in no particular order of importance in the world. Mm-hmm. Remote hiring, remote co-work, remote work, work from home, the co-working industry as it relates to that. Blockchain, specifically though, blockchain for food safety, produce supply chains, and food exports to the U.S. or to Latin America. E-commerce and remote learning post-COVID world. So let's call that like post-vaccination, right? Mm-hmm. Smart contracts for funding in general. So smart contracts as like a mechanism, like how can we better document and make the whole like process of startups and investment in startups easier, but then also specifically like smart contracts related to social entrepreneurship. The next and or new generations of tourism post-COVID. And I know that Ilay has some things to add to that one already because we've had some offline conversations about this and she's got some really cool examples. The growth of the digital nomad community, and then even more specifically, the idea that some countries are literally promoting themselves as places to come and work remotely by providing remote visas, by making it a lot easier to get in and out of countries and earn a living there. Some really big topics here, mental health.
Of course.
Lifestyle related conditions, work-life balance. And then some cool topics where you start to get into some of the stuff that crosses back over here to like I'm sitting in Los Angeles. Cross-border opportunities between Mexico and LATAM and the U.S. Or between the U.S. and Mexico and LATAM. So kind of in both directions, right? Mm-hmm. And everything from like how can we find customers? Are there entrepreneurship programs in either or both areas? Are there like kind of travel entrepreneurial tourism experiences? Which American cities? Some people have asked me about like which American cities should we focus on, which is a whole discussion in and of itself. Investment opportunities, in the US for Latin American companies, and then investment opportunities from like angel and VCs in Latin America for non-Latin American investors. Women in entrepreneurship, oof, right? Like that's a whole thing in and of itself. I would love for us to just be able to call you a founder and not have to say like you're a female founder.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think we're kind of at a place in life where we still need to kind of call out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We need to amplify you all. We can't just meld you into the background. Women founders and the receiving investment. And actually, I know what this person meant when she said this to me, which is women founders not receiving investment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Angel investment opportunities or the lack of angel investment in LATAM. And then a bunch of really deep, again, whew, past my pay grade of expertise, but really deep product topics. So some folks that I was on with on Clubhouse last week were really diving into decentralized finance or DeFi, as the hipsters call it, crypto, Bitcoin, fintech in general, AI and machine learning, SaaS, like SaaS software in LATAM, which is not as common. Like it's a small piece of the tech startup landscape in LATAM compared to like fintech or consumer. Right. So people want to start talking about that. Tied back to some of our other topics, undersupported founders, women, people of color, or coming from in Latin American countries where everybody is a person of color coming from like non-elite parts of society and being undersupported. Food tech innovation, and then a couple of big like generalist topics. Basically everything under the bucket of sales and growth marketing, mm-hmm. and then everything kind of related to like storytelling and creativity. So maybe even creativity in a way that we touched on it last season with our friend Sergio mm-hmm. from Argentina y Chile in one of Ileana's favorite episodes of season one. So there's the good news. There's 25 topics
Oof.
That our audience suggested that they would love to hear us talk about. And the truth is we want to do 22 episodes this year. So we should pretty well have this covered. But what I would love to do today is maybe kind of tease some of what we think about these topics. And I'll just say this, and please comment on this and kind of run with it a little bit. Yeah. Anyway. But as I looked at this list of 25 in preparation for the show, I started to see a lot of these kind of like grouped together.
Yeah. So for me, if I see the list, it will be like, it will be, won't be 25, it will be maybe 5. I don't know. Like, not because in separate, they don't are important, but because what you just said, like, they just relate each other and they are maybe in ones we will go more deep into, but the other ones are just the team and then just consequences. But I really, really like how people bring it all these subjects to because they, one of those are because they are concerned about it and some of them are already living it and they just want to see more like a varied perspective of what we think and other founders could add to the conversation.
See, and that was the big theme for me, right? Is some of the people submitted these to us via email and some DM'd us and sent it on WhatsApp and whatnot. The comments that I kept getting were around like, man, I would love to hear what you and Ileana think about it. But then I also would love to hear like the experts and the types of guests that you would bring for these topics.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm always flattered that they want to hear what you and I have to say, like, I'm actually more excited about the who we could bring to talk about these things.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Because actually, we are not experts. We just like to say our opinions about all the subjects. And the good thing about this podcast is that we are always looking for the best persons to complement our thoughts and to bring the professional perspective of everything that we are just proposing for our audience.
Yeah.
But, 100%. Okay, so Rob,
yeah.
which group would you like to attack first?
So to me, like it, ironically, right at the top of the list,
and then
I think maybe even a couple of the other ones that kind of tie into this, right? There's obviously a big focus on climate tech,
mm-hmm.
right? And environmental opportunities, whether that be like environmental travel, eco travel, or it's just like these topics. I mean, decarbonization. Wow, right? I mean, that's everything from I know in our prep, we were recanting that story of the young team from Tecto Monterrey that has created literally like a piece of technology that you deploy. You deploy it like out into the city, and it don't like visually, it almost to me, it looks like it's like a huge metal tree. Right. Except it's like it's almost more like a fan. Right. And it just sucks carbon out of the air. But decarbonization is bigger than just that. Mm-hmm. Right. Decarbonization is also about like policy making and policies like governments forcing us to hold to certain standards. And if we're holding to certain standards, for example, in California, right, I'm sure we could probably find some amazing guests. Actually, I just on Twitter in the last month met a young man here who is leading one of the biggest, I've learned, this is really cool, you'll dig this, biggest and most focused clean tech incubation programs in the US.
Wow.
And it just happens to be here in Los Angeles. Right? Yeah, it's called Clean Tech LA. And what makes it even cooler, other than just he's a really good guy, is he's also an African American and pretty young, like millennial, maybe older millennial. And so like there's this edge to it that is basically like he's presenting climate tech and all these types of topics, you know, decarbonization, green recovery, sustainable cities. He's wrapping that up under like economic empowerment.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I was saying the last show, that we will see more of these initiatives very like focusing in investing good, like to have better cities and to have more sustainable way to live and to interact with each other. And that's so decarbonization will be like a consequence of how we relate and how we live our lives now in this new normal life that we are inventing or like creating by day by day.
See, I mean, you know, I tweeted it out because I was so stoked. It was the greatest thing that either of us said on episode one. But it was that, you know, it's time for us to invest in good so that we can create the solutions that we actually need to the real problems that we're living through.
Yeah.
That quote came from Ileana, not me. And I love, I think that theme that you were already kind of previewing maybe in episode one of this year really is underneath all of these topics today. All of this ties to doing good. Like I'm feeling, let me, this is just my own personal example, right? No one mentioned to us, none of the audience said to us, please talk about the next hot social media app. No one in here said, please, can you highlight the next cool food delivery company or food delivery industry? No one in here said, can you talk to me about, you know, the next Facebook or the Facebook of Mexico or the Facebook of Brazil? And to me, that's really encouraging because I've been out on the road in LATAM now for 4.5 years, basically betting my entire future, like my next 30 years of my life and in our business on you millennials and Gen Z, and saying that maybe your generations would finally be the ones that would move us towards this. I don't want to go maybe so dramatically as far as saying like conscious capitalism in the pure sense, but would move us more aggressively towards like capitalism with a purpose, capitalism that helps serve all, capitalism that helps make our planet better, our systems better, our educational environment better, like healthier foods, like all that, instead of just capitalism to make.
Yeah, and this aligned very good with the subject in number 7. Well, people cannot see the list, but we put names in the numbers in the subject.
Yes.
So, a smart contract for funding social entrepreneur startups, it will be fundamental for the next years. So we don't have very standardized how to fund or to measure social entrepreneurship, and it will be something that we have to like be fighting, and I don't know how to say that. Like,
I think there's a perfect example, right? I saw, and again, I've been really active during the pandemic on Twitter, and then in a lesser way, this new social audio app called Clubhouse. And so I'm learning a lot. I'm listening a lot, right, to pick up on what people are really focused on and where the energy and the entrepreneurial economies are going. So the other night I was listening to a conversation with one of our mutual friends, Conde, or as he's known on Twitter, at Lawyer Count, who runs a firm in Mexico with a great partner, Cynthia, there in Guadalajara, called Nobilis Consulum. Right? Yeah. And I know Conde really is desperate to talk about this. Like Conde really wants to talk about smart contracts and the digitization of contracts. And Conde has a very specific passion for social entrepreneurship. So, you know, that could be someone that we could bring in to talk about this as we go forward. But I think you're right. I think what we're learning here in all these topics that folks want us to talk about is that there's a common theme of a better version of capitalism. And so maybe, you know, maybe in some ways what we talk about, and this would be hopeful, that what we talk about with our guests and with our community in 2021 starts to really empower and maybe encourage or validate people in what they're doing. And then that becomes the basis for like real change in the entrepreneurial economies that we start to see in 2022, 23, 25, 30. Like that's the whole point, right? You and I are doing Mentors today because we literally want to bring people here, have conversations that the listeners who might be founders can learn from and essentially feel mentored through a podcast. So I'm hopeful that some of these things can be real drivers to change. But like look at the middle category, like 10, 11, 12, right? Like this ideas around like mental health. I mean, mental health to me, we could do a daily podcast and have it be like seven, like every morning we could talk about my mental health.
Yeah, we should like every episode we should start like with a new tip for mental health in pandemic life.
I mean, it's funny to me. You tell me what you think. It seems like it's an ever-present topic, right? But to me, it also seems like it's a topic that even though it's super obvious, not a lot of people like actually have the tools to deal with their own mental health. So they're like literally smart, educated people who are like putting out, and this happened to me today, like this wonderful, talented founder here in Los Angeles tweeted something out about like really struggling with like digital addiction, mm-hmm. right? And being just overwhelmed by the stuff that she's connected to.
I just told you that I just like delete all my social media for my phones because I was very anxious about it. And I was losing a lot of time, and also because now everybody's in there, everybody's putting like a lot of things that make me anxious because everybody seems to be doing a lot, and it's I'm not doing a lot. I don't know.
Like related to the pandemic, specific like people are out partying and going on hot and at the beach and drinking and no masks, like stuff like that was making you anxious.
No, yeah. And also that the social media put us like in a fake reality of what people it's actually doing with their lives because they only portray what it's cool or I don't know. Maybe I'm going very like switching to another subject, but
no. No, come on, that's mental health and work-life balance and lifestyle related. I mean, that's those topics. And that's what this young woman, who, by the way, is roughly about your age, who's a founder here. And here she was, like, again, smart, like you, educated, like you, life experienced, like you. And she's tweeting out, like, saying, does anybody have any tips? Does anybody have any ideas? Because I'm feeling this. And I thought to myself, holy cow, if this young woman... Or like you, like if you guys get to the point where you say like, I've got to delete all this stuff, or I've got to like put phone, you know, restrictions on my phone usage and stuff. Wow. Cause I mean, what happens to the people who aren't as like mature or educated or worldly? How are they? They must be getting literally overwhelmed by this stuff. Dangerously so.
Oof, I mean, and it's not only because of social media and it's because right now we are like very like into a space where we are very isolated from everybody. So the only way to be connected is through digital, even to take classes or to buy stuff, like to get stuff, like do groceries or whatever. It's digital. So I think mental health, it has to very like to put attention to, even though we are growing in digital, we will never have to forget how to relate in the physical space. And that's why I was proposing in the last show that everybody like I think that we will start to live in like more like a niche, like a villa or like in a small community. And in order to to like fulfill those needs that we need to with our locals feeling safe because it's in a control like space. Like, for example, for traveling or even instead of going out in a very long trip and take a flight or something, maybe now we will prefer to do it like with a small group in a very close place for us.
Yeah. I mean, you took a flight last year and came to California, and I don't think you would do. I don't know. But I'm like, let me tell this story. I don't think you. No. I raised that because of the other part of the story. I'm not making fun of you. I'm actually complimenting you. I don't think you would do that right now.
No.
And what you have done since you've been home is with closest small circle of friends, taken like brief, fairly local road trips to like remote places that are within an hour or a couple hour drive from where you live. Right. And so that's that you're living.
Yes. Yeah.
So no, I think it relates to like people are talking to, hey, talk to us about the new types of tourism post COVID. Talk to us about the digital nomadism. Yeah, right. Talk to us about all of that. Like, how are we going to run companies remotely and how do you get together with people? And I know you have a couple of cool stories other than just your own, but you have a couple of cool stories about how companies are thinking about operating in this like post-pandemic remote world.
Yeah. So, for example, I know a company that it's like, how do you say it's betting in, so they rent these Airbnb houses in the middle of nowhere. And so because now they are hiring people during the pandemic, the personnel don't know each other. The teams don't know each other. So they are trying to make them connect by renting these houses, and they put it in like every time to time to travel there in a very safe space and then to work in a like a project, and then they can meet through that activity, and then they go back to their houses. And I thought that was a really, really smart way to bring things together. And
I mean, and we know young entrepreneurs that we mentor who have spent this past, you know, either year or 6 months working remotely now because their companies have said you can work from anywhere, and they've gone and moved into Airbnb. Like I'm thinking of one I spoke to yesterday who's from Tampico, but she went to Oaxaca and went to Puerto Escondido, and is living like in an Airbnb by herself.
Those places are getting like they are having an advantage like these days. Oh, many of my coworkers have moved to Puerto Escondido, Zicatela, Playa del Carmen, even Los Cabos here in Mexico. And actually, I think I'm going to do that next week. just move to the beach and work from there because I don't have to be home. And if I'm going to be in a place, well, let's make it like a very nice one, no?
Right, which goes to that whole idea of like mental health, right, and work-life balance. I mean, I know in this young lady's case, she's working just as hard as she ever did, but then she also decided that she's always wanted to surf, and so she's taken surf lessons, right? And so she's happier than she's been in probably a couple of years, even though she's working just as hard, but because she's taking advantage of this flexibility, which we talked about back in season one, right? Our belief system, mine and yours, and what a lot of the data from really smart people like Chris Hurd and some of the folks at WeWork are even producing a lot of reports that people can look up now online, is this idea that the future of work isn't like office or no office, right? And the future of even working from home isn't working from home with your three little kids on your lap and your dog and your husband also. Like eventually schools reopen, eventually, you know, your significant other, your roommates have other schedules, and everybody is kind of like 25-30% in the office on irregular schedules and then working from home, or you're like, I don't want to work from home because my roommate works from home, so I'm going to go down the street and work from a coworker that I can walk to. And so I think the future that you and I see, and that the industry seems to be now talking about, you know, deep into this thing, is that hybrid, as you love to say, is gonna be the future.
That's so funny. I thought it was a different word.
The audience is gonna miss out on the inside joke, which is that for years I've thought when she says the word hybrid the way she says it,
hybrid. Yeah.
I've literally thought that she was saying like a word in Spanish that I didn't know, and then she thought when I would repeat it, she thought I was saying like a different word in English that she didn't know. And the truth is, we're saying the same word differently. Yeah. So there you go, language.
So,
right?
So, going back to the work remotely and like working from home, it will be also interesting that we address that in the next episodes. How the law, for example, here in Mexico right now, they just passed a law that the companies has to pay for your internet, and they have to like do the best conditions for you to work from home. And so I don't know if that it's happening that also in the United States, and how it's going.
No, we have not gotten to the point of a law, a policy. I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention lately. We've had some political issues lately. We've been a little distracted by that, like, oh, you know, trying to overthrow the government stuff. And the pandemic, but no, I was fascinated when I heard that there is now this law that you talk about. I mean, that's awesome. Like, that's super progressive for Mexico to say, hey, if you're gonna send your employees home, that's great, but then here are the standards that you have to help them with. I would love to get, I've mentioned him already, but I would love to get, for example, like Chris Hurd from the UK, who's running a company called First Base HQ. And Chris and I have gotten to know each other online this year and talk quite a bit. He's kind of my guru when it comes to this stuff now. And his whole company's purpose is to work with corporates to literally say, okay, they need a desk, they need a chair, they need like the right kind of desk, the right kind of chair, this kind of technology, this kind of Wi-Fi. And we've built like literally a physical, like a package bundle of, and then for, you know, $1,500 per employee, boom, we ship it to wherever your employee is. And then every employee at any company is being treated fairly and equally. And it's you know, well, you know, Ileana doesn't have good Wi-Fi at home. Well, that shouldn't be a penalty for Ileana, right? Like that, she should be able to, every other employee at her work.
Sometimes I wonder, like, what if happen if I don't have Wi-Fi? I couldn't work and my boss or my employer will be mad at me because something that I cannot control. And because I'm working from home, and yeah. I don't know, so the companies will have to be very flexible in that sense. And I'm just thinking, and I don't know if this is like a kind of a dumb, sorry, it will never be a dumb thought, but
right, no dumb questions.
I was wondering,
right?
Like, for young people, and I actually was remembered about how you live the past 3 years, but for young people or people like you that decide to have like a remote life, for example, the rent of an apartment maybe won't be make sense anymore for those that are just want to do remote, changing like places every month or 2 months or whatever. So it will be interesting how people will be established in some place, like the density of the cities and how people move through countries or through cities. It will be something very interesting to see in the next years, how cities get bigger or smaller, or how the rents of the now we see that there's a lot, for example, here in Guadalajara, a lot of buildings are being built like apartments. And then the pandemic came, so maybe people won't like to rent something because they will just traveling around and leave whatever they want.
No, I totally agree. Not because I happen, as you said, I happen to live this way, but everything I hear from people is that it's coming. A little bit of a contrarian opinion to the popular opinions of the moment, like the hot takes right now, is that, right, cities are going to die and everybody's going to live in the country. And I think that's bullshit.
No.
Like, I, like I right. I mean, you know me, I'm a bit of a center kind of guy. Like, I don't think it's going to go extreme one way or the other way. I think there's going to be change. Of course, I think there will be. My phrase that I used a lot this week in different conversations with both clients as well as friends was distribution. I think what we're living through is going to be a period of redistribution, mm-hmm. right? So you're not going to see right now in the US, in the tech startup investment community world, there's this big loud debate about like Silicon Valley is dead and everybody's moving to Miami or Austin, Texas. And like, I get it, right? Like, people have interests, people have investments, people have buildings, people have egos that they want to like make those cases from one to the other. And I always kind of come in the middle and I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to believe the guy who also says, hey, guess what? San Francisco is actually right now setting itself up to be a perfect place to come if you're super young and you want to start a company because rents are coming down like by 40%. There's a ton of available apartments. There's a ton of available commercial space. It's going to have gotten rid of all the pretenders and the wannabes. Right. And so like this, the people that'll be in the Silicon Valley and San Francisco for the next 10 years are really going to want to be there. And then there's going to be a whole energy around that. And then God bless the people that wanted to go to Austin or Miami, because then they're really going to want to be there and they're going to be new energy there. And so I think that is what we're going to see. And to your point, I think it's going to create massive challenges in the short term. That's disruption, right? But I also think it's going to create mm-hmm. massive opportunities in every sector, right? So it's going to affect the real estate guys. It's going to affect investors. It's going to affect travel. It's going to affect the Airbnb hosts. It's going to affect Airbnb. It's going to affect the surf coaches who are surf coaching in Puerto Escondido. And maybe in the past, he only taught surf classes like 3 months of the year. And now he's like, I have like the same amount of demand, like 10 months out of the year, because there's so many younger people with, you know, money who are coming here because they've got good jobs, but they chose to live here for 3 months.
Airbnb houses, maybe right now they will be promoted like, hey, work from everywhere. And so the houses, they will have to be very equipment for people who want to work from there with a good Wi-Fi and a good chair and desk and everything.
See, so I'm going to, a handful of these actually topics towards the bottom of our list. We don't have to dive into much more today because they're pretty obvious, right? They're kind of product topics, decentralized finance, crypto, Bitcoin, fintech, AI, SaaS, in Latin America. I think there's cool conversations that we can have with some really smart people about this idea of SaaS software and B2B enterprise software in Latin America, because it's not super common. Right. I mean, when I run across a SaaS B2B enterprise software platform company in any startup program, wow. I'm always like, whoa. Right. Exactly. Like, hello, stranger. Like, it speaks to me because that's how I got my start in my first company a lifetime ago, before you were born. But actually you were in kindergarten.
Oh, yeah. Awesome, a very nice one. Not pandemic in that time.
No, exactly. So like, there's some cool things. We could probably really bring some interesting guests. And then we'll find really smart people who are super conversant in things like DeFi and in crypto and Bitcoin. Because that's stuff that I don't really understand, but I know it's part of the future. I'm the centrist guy. I'm not going to say it's the whole future, but like, we can let some really, really smart people come on board here with us and tell us why they think it is the whole future or not. And that's okay. And then, I mean, to me, there's probably five or six of these topics that are left that are just all around this idea that of financing and capital and underrepresented founders, right? And underrepresented founders, I mean, in a funny way, I'll tell this story. You've heard me say this before, but I often say when I like first came back to LA, end of 2019, and I knew I was going to be here for more often. I didn't know I was going to be here permanently. I would often say to people here who are like, hey, you know, we only invest in underrepresented founders, or we only invest in the acronym that they use is BIPOC, right? Like people of color, right? Like interracial people of color, right? And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. Cause like, our entire business is only people of color. And they're always like, wait, what? like your whole focus? I'm like, yeah, like our entire focus is in Latin America. And so literally every founder we deal with is underrepresented and underserved. Right. And so it was kind of, and then you get into a conversation about it and it's true. Like it wasn't just me being silly. Like it's actually true. Right. There's an interesting set of conversations that I'm excited for us to host with other really smart people this year. There are some amazing, ironically, some amazing like Central American, Mexicana, not too many South Americans here in Los Angeles, but there are in Miami, there are in New York. But there are some incredibly talented African-American founders, African-American investors, Mexicana investors. I'm thinking of like Nora May or my friends that just launched Slauson Fund, which is focused on Black entrepreneurs here in Los Angeles and in other parts of the U.S. And there's this whole conversation right now in the U.S. about underrepresented founders. You know how, like, listen to this. Mm-hmm. I heard this one again this morning, Ile. Leading up to 2020, the industry of investment in entrepreneurs had grown to such a point that 3% of all venture capital that got invested on a yearly basis was going to women. And that was growth mm-hmm. to get to that point.
Oof.
3%. By Q4 of 2020, that number Oof. Had shrunk back to 1%.
Wow.
So we've clearly got a funding and financing and supporting women entrepreneurs.
Probably. I mean, there were like many years since that it has been happening, but maybe because the past years we were working in making more visible the women in tech, and there are a lot of initiatives, but I bet it's because of the contraction of every event and all the stuff that they just gone because of the pandemic. So we will have to like readjust again in order to see the representation of women and not only women and people of color and other ethnicities and.
See, and you talked about it at the end of last season, right? The idea of literally like colorism, right? And the differences in just inside of say the Mexican population or in Latin American countries, right? Where you have, and I can say this and I'm not speaking out of turn because I'm such deeply involved in the culture, right? But like as the white guy in the room, I'm not trying to sound like a jerk when I say this, right? But the fact that like in Mexico, as an example, or in any of the Latin American countries I've spent time in, right? There's the upper class, like educated, kind of people that are from money, you tend to be lighter skinned, right? You're lighter skinned, right? And then it might not be as equal or easy for, and it's not easy for you to get funding, but it might be even 5 or 10 times harder for someone from the south of Mexico, from a more rural village who doesn't go to the best university, who doesn't come from a family with wealth, who didn't lead like a pretty, you know, middle class or up lifestyle. It might be impossible for that dark skinned woman who has the same talent as Ileana does in Mexico, but she comes from Chiapas. Like that might not even be even a remote possibility, right? Or an indigenous person, Mapuche in Chile versus someone who lives in Santiago. So clearly we do. We have a problem and we have to do better. And so I want us to be a voice in trying to help us do better. And so hopefully this year we can bring on some guests who can amplify this and then we can just, you know, work the shit out of promoting it and get those stories out there so that we can start to say, it's just, and here's the white guy. I'm the old white guy saying, this is unacceptable. We have to do better everywhere in the world, period. So I'm excited to talk about that. This is a lot. We don't need to go into any more topics. Like this is season two, everybody. Welcome to bienvenido to season two. I mean, are you? I'm feeling like this compared to season one. I'm right now. My brain is like, holy cow.
Yeah, I'm super excited because of that. Year. Because when we started the first season, the pandemic was just starting, and we'll have guests of what was going through, but based in the past, like in 2019, and right now we are very now we have a more clear perspective of all the tendencies that we are going through. But with that, I think it's time to close our episode 2.
It is time. It is time. We're grateful. We thank all of you for listening. We love you. We thank you for sharing this, for posting on your social media. You can always get in touch with us, just like our guests shared our topics. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Give us questions you want us to use on the show. You can find it in the show links. We're just grateful. We had a blast doing this last year, and we're really excited to do even better and get better at this
year. Thank you.
Muchísimas gracias por escucharnos donde quiera que se encuentren. Les pedimos que por favor nos sigan, si les gustó este podcast, que nos sigan en las diferentes redes sociales, que nos escuchen en las diferentes plataformas y también que nos sigan en nuestros perfiles de redes sociales. Nos pueden seguir en Instagram como Mentors Today. No olviden que dentro del perfil pueden dar clic al link que está en la biografía para enviarnos su pregunta y cada semana poder participar.